A Midday with Howie Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
And in Mind Your Business, we look at the SME sector here. After all, it powers half our economy and hires 70% of our people. Today, we're talking about internationalization. We've actually been talking about it for quite a bit. In a recent global survey by ACCA, only 16% of SMEs sought advice on internationalization. That means they only sought advice. They weren't actually thinking about or even did it. As such, ACCA also have a new study, Scale Up Success, What Do SMEs Need to Supercharge Their Growth? Chiu Chun Wee is Regional Head of Policy at ACCA. He's going to give us and SMEs in Singapore the bullet. So thanks so much for coming today, Chun Wee.
Glad to be here. Good morning, Howie.
First of all, why did you decide to do the survey? What was the impetus behind this for ACCA?
So I'm sure we are very familiar and the value of SME to the economy, I'm sure, has been very well articulated in the past. They support a huge proportion of the workforce.
Right.
And the proportion is significant across the globe as well. From our perspective, with reference to an OECD report, the productivity growth of SME in OECD countries averaged 1.8% per year before the global financial crisis. And that sort of dropped to 0.8% post the crisis.
Ooh.
And yet, within that drop, there are a cluster of SME that still maintain a high growth. So I guess the question in our mind is there anything that those high growth SME are doing differently? Are they approaching the running of their business differently? So it would be great if we can maybe capture some of those different thinking, put it in the report so that the wider population of SME can benefit from that. It's a little bit like, you know, a kiasu parent looking at the next kid and, wow, you're doing so well. And are you going
What's
to a special
secret?
Tuition? What's the secret, right? So trying to find out a little bit of that secret recipe.
So in this case, what was the secret?
So indeed, in the survey, there were some interesting things that they did. And I'll leave the reader to go look at the report in detail. But I guess for purpose of this morning conversation, maybe I can just draw out three things and we can, or at least the three, and then we can discuss a little bit more later on. And number one is they define growth differently. They look at growth differently. And we use the term growth culture. They promote a growth culture within the organization. Why is that important? We'll come to that later on. Secondly, the high growth businesses, they often adopt management and governance structure that decentralize control. So they move.
Oh, so almost a flat hierarchy kind
a
of
little
running
bit, yeah.
of business.
So they move that control away from the owner manager, right? So we're talking about decentralized control. We're talking about decentralized decision making. And as a sub point, reaching out to outside organization for professional advice. And the third one that I thought it'd be helpful to talk about is they tend to place more emphasis on the finance function. So firstly, trying to do the debit credits themselves. Many try to do that, and they fail miserably. So
it's really an expert field, isn't it?
It's an well, the thing is, you're so busy with so many things, right? There are people who can do it. Great. But, you know, sometimes you really need that dedicated function, whether in-house or outsourced, right? So, and that plus they treat them differently. They treat the finance function differently, more as a strategic partner. So
rather than just the numbers to get depressed about or whatever.
Those who hide in the dark corner, right in the room, not that. Yeah.
Okay, if I could go to the first point, which is they see growth culture different. They have a growth culture. They see growth differently. They define it differently. How do they define it? Not just in terms of P&L.
So majority, and we make a distinction between the high growth versus the moderate growth SMEs. So majority of the moderate growth SME, they look at growth in terms of turnover increase, revenue, right? I mean, that's understandable. Nothing wrong with that. But high growth SME, they also look at turnover. But beyond that, I think they look at it in a slightly more balanced way. And the bigger proportion of them look at turnover and also productivity growth. They look at staff growth, they look at R&D, they look at internationalization. And to them, these are important indicators of growth as well. So a bit more broad-based, a little bit more balanced. And you may wonder, why is that important? Well, the psychology of what constitutes growth is that it constitutes success in the business. So it affects the focus of your business. So do you want to just drive profitability at all costs? Or do you try to drive up revenue? Or do you put efforts into talent acquisition? Do you put effort into R&D, internationalization, moving beyond your own shore? So I think that's quite important. It's just a whole mindset change, right? And you know, we talk about the growth mindset, and you want to permeate that within your organization. It's not just about hanging up a banner and say, oh, we want growth, and everyone think about that. You need to make sure that you're living and breathing it. And part of it is perhaps setting it within the KPIs. So we always say KPI, and we are it's so dreadful, right? People hate KPIs. But setting the right KPI is really important. So think of say a FMB, right? And their vision, for example, is to become the premier place where people come together, have fun, have good food, and so on. But if they leave it to the management and say, you know, my KPI too is to get as much revenue as possible. They say, well, to get revenue, well, maybe we can have some advertisement, cheap, you know, social media advertising, one for one. People come in and then let me get the cheapest raw material because that will drive the cost down and drive the revenue up because that's my KPI. And then, you know, people come and they realize, oh, the food is awful and it's so crowded and so on. So the quality suffer. Do you get to your vision? Probably not. They're not going to come back. And that's a very extreme and very crude example. But,
right,
you know, sometimes the crude extreme example show us a big message.
And it simplifies things
exactly,
as well.
Exactly.
But one would think in the 21st century, people have understood, business owners understand that the growth equation comes with all these other factors now.
Yeah.
If you have unhappy people, they leave, no one's doing the work, your business suffers, etc.
Exactly. And I just want to bring up one other point, which is entrepreneurship. Right, and I think it's part of that growth mindset as well. In a separate
of management or of employees,
I think it's
both.
It's both. So in a study that we did a few years ago on Gen Next, so this is the younger generation of people that we surveyed across the globe. One very interesting finding came out, which is more than 80% of the Gen Next, they want to set up their own business at some point. Right, so they're very entrepreneurial. Right. And also they're very mobile. They're not, so like, for example, my dad, he was in the same job, for 40 years, right? He retired in the same job. They had the 40-40 club, 40 hours a week and 40 years of their life. It's not the same for now. It's not a job for life. It's a life of jobs. They are collecting a lifetime of job experience. So they're very mobile. They're very entrepreneurial. They're very innovative. How do you keep, you know, stuff that are like that, right? And nothing wrong, you know, it's very positive. How do you leverage out of all those creativity energy? And it is, I think, one of the things about entrepreneurship. How do you give them the ability to make decision for you? How do you give them the space to be creative? How do you create a culture where failing is okay? And just fail fast and learn fast.
Right.
So, you know, we can talk a lot, but I just want to put that point across about entrepreneurship.
I'm surprised though, Chinwee.
Yeah.
Anecdotally, as part of Gen X, I've not, actually. I'm a 2-for-2 now, if you will.
Oh, you're
will.
Part of the 20%.
Friends as well. You know, we've been in the same jobs for decades now.
And that's actually a very interesting point. You need to inject excitement and variety into the job. So for me, I'm not a Gen X, I'm beyond that. But I did my first job for more than 10 years. Not because I was afraid to move, but because within that 10 years, I was acquiring many different kind of experience throughout that whole 10 years. So I think this is a message to businesses as well. So you know that people want to collect different experience, you must give it to them. Otherwise, they're going to step out of your organization to look for that.
As we head back into the survey that the ACCA conducted, finding out that only 16% of SMEs you surveyed sought internationalization advice. It means internationalization is part of that growth equation that must be considered. What about here in Singapore?
It wasn't a significantly different number for Singapore, but there were a few things that the Singapore business were different from the rest, and they were quite interesting. And I actually picked up a few things just through the analysis of the Singapore versus the rest kind of in the survey. And one of the before that, just going back a bit to the fundamental, one of the questions we asked them was, what was your growth in the last 3 years, right? And unfortunately, Singapore was sort of lower than the rest in ASEAN. But that is probably expected because we are such a matured economy. We are sort of closer to the UK, right? So I think with that as the background, the Singapore businesses, they are looking slightly differently than the rest in the region in terms of what could drive their growth. And if you look at ASEAN in total and look at, say, Malaysia and Vietnam, a lot of their focus is on driving sales and marketing. So I want to put my next dollar in sales, I want to put my next dollar in marketing in order to drive up my revenue. Singapore, well, marketing and sales is still the biggest number, but we are a lot more balanced because they're looking at two other things, which is technology and software adoption, as well as increased training and upskilling of the workforce, which is, in my mind,
that's
really
quite
encouraging.
Yes.
And we know 2 years ago, the CFE Committee to for the Future Economy, they put a lot of emphasis on enhancing digital capability as well as upskilling. So it does seem that messaging is rubbing off on the Singapore businesses. So that's great. I'm very encouraging. The other interesting finding of Singapore versus the rest was the source of funding. Right, so where do the SME get their money? It seems like, interestingly, globally, the biggest number came from bank loans. So most of the SME get money from bank loan. But for Singapore, the proportion of the business getting from bank loan is actually a lot lower than global. So global is about 34%, Singapore is 26%. So where do we get the money? The biggest source, interestingly, was government grants.
That's a testament to the government realizing that this sector needs a bit of a boost and has all these initiatives to help them out.
Exactly. I think our government is doing a great job in this case. And just looking at the proportion, globally, government grant is 17%. In Singapore, it's 31%. And it's a lot higher than everyone
else.
That's
almost double.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think for those businesses out there who, well, for some reason still don't know that this is a source of funding for you, it's something to really think about.
But it does sound like it's taking root.
And
the SME sector is realizing there is an avenue for them to get some help.
Exactly. But I think, you know, we need to be cautious about over-reliant and so on. But, you know, all the different schemes that the government have put in place come with different, I guess, motivation for them to really scale up. So I think that's great. The other thing, and slightly related, is those who haven't accessed external funding for Singapore is actually the highest globally as well, which is 34% versus global 18%. So I think this 34%, they really think about, you know, the government funding that are available to you. So that will be a piece of advice that I think we want to give out.
Right.
From the study, what we're seeing is the highest growth company actually are looking at internationalization up front. It's not something that is, you know,
later on.
Mm. So I think, again,
it's that concurrent growth that you have to look at, holistic view of growth instead of, let me do this first, and when that's great, then I'll do this, etc., in a chronological list.
Yeah, and I think it's all linked to digitalization as well. In today's economy, you can reach out beyond your shore through digital means, right? Your digital platforms, for example. So it could be that they are interpreting it differently, but you can get overseas customers and so on through your digital platform. So that's something to think about as well.
You know, Chun Wee, we can talk for hours about this, but unfortunately, run out of time. Chun Wee is Regional Head of Policy at ACCA. If you'd like to read the full report, you can head to their website, accaglobal.com. That's accaglobal.com. Chun Wee, pleasure.
Thank you so much. Pleasure's mine.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.